Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Avodah Zarah Perek Dalid. In this perek, the Rambam discusses the dinim of the Ir HaNidachat, the city in which a small number of the residents convince most or all of the others to worship Avodah Zarah. This extreme scenario has its own halachot, many of which differ from those of the individual who worships Avodah Zarah. As an introduction to the perek, we will first read the psukim in Parshat Re'eh, Perek Yud Gimel, Psukim Yud Gimel to Yud Chet in Sefer Devarim, about the Ir HaNidachat, as many of the words and phrases in those psukim will be quoted by the Rambam as sources for the various dinim. Before we start, let us note the famous statement of the Tosefta, quoted in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There never was and never will be an Ir HaNidachat. Lo haita velo atida liot. And the only reason the topic arises in the Chumash at all is in order for us to get schar for learning about it. This statement emphasizes both the practical impossibility of ever actually fulfilling all the conditions to become an Ir HaNidachat, as well as the important theoretical lessons that can be learnt from examining this halachic concept. With that in mind, let's go to the Psukim. Devarim, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ki tishma ba'achat arecha, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha, lashevet sham lemor. If you hear the following being said of one of the towns that Hashem gives you to live in, Yatzu anashim b'nei v'li'al mikirbecha, v'yadichu et yoshve iram lemor, ne'lecha v'na'avda Elohim achirim asher lo yidatem. That some evil men, some scoundrels from among you, have gone and subverted the inhabitants of their town, saying, come, let us worship other gods whom you do not know. V'darashta v'chakarta v'shalta hitev, v'hinei emet nachon hadavar, ne'esta ha'toeva azot b'kirbecha. You shall investigate and inquire and interrogate thoroughly. If it is true, if it's established, that this abhorrent thing has in fact happened, hake take et yoshvei ha'ir ha'hi lefi charev, hacharem ota vet kol asher ba vet behemta lefi charev. Put the inhabitants of that town to the sword. Put its animals to the sword. Condemn all of it to destruction. Vet kol shlala tikbot zel toch rechova, v'sarafta v'eish et ha'ir vet kol shlala kalil Hashem Elokecha, v'hayita tel olam lo tibane od. Gather all of its property into the main square, burn it all in fire, burn the city and all of its property completely to God. It shall remain an everlasting ruin, never to be rebuilt. V'lo yidbak biyadcha mu'uma min acherem, l'ma'an yashuv Hashem mecharon apo, v'natan lacha rachamim v'richamcha v'hirbecha, kasher nishba l'avotecha. Let nothing which has been condemned stick to your hand, meaning all the property should be asur b'hana'a, forbidden to get any benefit from, in order that Hashem may turn away from his anger and show you compassion, and in his compassion allow you to multiply as he promised to your forefathers. From these psukim emerge two major distinctions between the punishment of the individual who worships Avodah Zarah and the punishment of the one who does so as part of the Ir HaNidachat. The individual gets skila, while the people of the Ir HaNidachat get saif, death by sword, and the property of the residents of the Ir HaNidachat, even those who didn't sin, as we'll see in the Rambam, is destroyed and forbidden to retrieve. Three of the four mitzvot discussed by the Rambam in this perek come from these psukim. The mitzvot asay to destroy the Ir HaNidachat, and the mitzvot lo tasay against rebuilding it and against benefiting from its property in any way. The question arises, why, if the Ir HaNidachat is so severe, do the residents get the punishment of saif, which is less severe than skila, the punishment of an individual? We'll come back to this question as we go through the perek. Halacha Aleph. Madichei ir mi Yisrael hare'elu niskalin. Af al pi shelo avdu avodah zarah, ela hidichu et yoshvei iram ad sha'avdu ota. Ve'anshei ha'ir hamudachin neharagin besayif, v'hu sha'avdu avodah zarah o shekiblu aleihem beloa. Ve'azarah demadiach minayin, tumud lamar lo yishama al picha. Those who lead the city astray to do Avodah Zarah, they themselves get skila, even though they didn't actually worship Avodah Zarah, just led other people to do it. And the people of the city, of the Ir HaNidachat, who are led astray, that is, who worshipped Avodah Zarah or who accepted it as a god, get killed by the sword. Where does the Torah say the Isser to be a mediach, to lead the people of the city astray? In a pasuk that we'll see in a later parak, lo yishama al picha, a foreign god, who Avodah Zarah, should not be mentioned by you. And here it's from suddenly being mentioned by these people who are leading the inhabitants of their city to do avodah zarah. Halacha bet ein ha'ir naseit ir hanidachat ad shiu madicheh shnayim o yater al shnayim shnemar yatsu anashim bnei v'liyal v'yu madicheh me'oto hashevet u'me'ota ha'ir shnemar mikirbecha v'yadichu et yoshve iram v'ad shiyadichu ruba v'yu hamudachim mime'ah v'ad rubo shel shevet. The Rambam lists here four conditions for becoming an ir nidachat. Number one, the madichim, those who lead it astray, have to be at least two people, because the psukim that we read spoke about the anashim b'nei v'liyal in the plural. Those who lead it astray have to be from that city and from the same tribe as the people in the city. Again, from the psukim that refer to mikir becha and yoshvei iram, it has to be that most of the city is subverted, and specifically the number of people has to be between 100 and the majority of a tribe. Aval imudach rubo shel shevet danin otak yichidim shnemar anshei ha'ir lo kfar katan velo krach gadol v'chol pachot meya kfar rubo shel shevet krach gadol. The psukim talk about the residents of the city being led astray. That refers to at least 100 people. Smaller than that would be considered a village, not a city. And at most, it's referring to half of a shevet. If it's most of a shevet, most of a tribe, that's already not considered a regular city. That is a major metropolis. And in that case, the ir nidachat simply doesn't apply. And they are punished as individuals worship avodah zarah. V'chein im hidichu anashim oktanim, o shihidicha yachid, o shehudach miuta. So clean kol mi shavad umamunam liyorshehem kishaar harugei beitim. And so too, if any of these other conditions are not met, if the people who subvert the city are women or children or one individual as opposed to two, or if only a minority of the city was subverted, or if they convince themselves to do avodah zarah,
it didn't happen because they listened to the madichim.
Or if the ones who subverted the city were from outside the city, then we do not treat this as an ir nidachat. Rather, each individual who worships avodah zarah is judged as an individual. Therefore, he would get skila, and his property will not be destroyed. It would go to whoever inherits him. Halacha gimel. Ein danin din ir hanidachat, ela beitin hagadol shel 71. Shnemar v'hotzeita ta ish hahu, o ta isha hahi, asher asu et hadavar hara haze el sharecha, et ha ish o ta isha, uskaltam bavarim v'meitu. Yechidim neragin v'beitin shel kol shar v'shar, vein hamirubin neragin ela v'beitin hagadol. The ir nidachat is judged by the Beitin HaGadol of 71 judges. The pasuk in regard to an individual who commits avodah zarah refers to a beitin in Sha'arecha, in your city, implying that only when an individual does avodah zarah is he judged by a local beitin, but a mass worship of avodah zarah by the ir nidachat, that's done by the Beitin HaGadol in Jerusalem. Halacha dalet, ein achat merei miklat naseit ir hanidachat. Shnemar b'achat arecha, v'lo Yerushalayim naseit ir hanidachat, lefi shelo nichalkal l'shvatim. Ve'ein osin ir hanidachat basfar, kedei shelo yikansu goyim v'yachrivu et Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ein beitin echad ose shalosh ayarot hanidachot zo b'tzad zo, avalim hayu meruchakot ose. Here there are certain limitations on what kind of city can become an ir nidachat. The Rambam says it can't be one of the arei miklat, the cities of refuge where accidental murderers go for refuge. It can't be Jerusalem. In both of these cases, the city does not belong to one tribe, but rather to all of Bnei Israel
collectively. Yerushalayim was not given to any tribe when the land was split up. The reason in both of these cases is that b'achat arecha, an ir nidachat, implies that it's a city which belongs to one tribe, and that does not apply to ir miklat or to Yerushalayim.
We can also not make an ir nidachat on the border, because with a destroyed city there, that would lure enemies to come and try to attack Eretz Yisrael. One Beit Din cannot make three arei nidachat one next to the other, but they can make three arei nidachat if they're far apart. The Rava disagrees about the ir miklat, the city of refuge. Unlike Yerushalayim, which was never split among the tribes, each ir miklat was given to a certain tribe, which then was required to make it available to the public for use as a place of refuge. He considers this to qualify as achat arecha, but the Rambam feels that the current status of an ir miklat as a public space, not the original status before it began to function as ir miklat, disqualifies it from the category of achat arecha, and therefore cannot become an ir nidachat. Halacha hei, Ein osin ir anidachat al shiadichu amadichea b'lashon rabim. V'yomru lahen neilech v'navod, o neilech v'nizbach, o neilech v'naktir, o neilech unasech, o neilech v'nishtachave, o neilech unakabel beloa. V'hem shomin v'avdu ota derech avodata, o b'achat merba avodot, o shikiblu ota beloa. A city can only become an ir nidachat when the people who led it astray did so by saying a language in the plural. Let us go worship other gods. Let us go slaughter or be maktir or be menaseich or bow down, one of the four special avodot that we discussed in the last parak. Or let us go and accept this avodah zarah as a god.
And the people listen to them
and worship the avodah zarah the way it's supposed to be worshipped, or through one of those four actions,
or they accept it as a god.
Only in that situation does the city become an ir nidach. Ir nidach shlo nitkamu ba uvmadicheh kol hatanim ha'elu. Heach osin lahen, matrin umiidin b'chol echad v'echad shavad mehen avodah zarah, v'soklin otan kiyichidim, umamonan liyorshehem. If any of the conditions of the ir nidachat is not met, then we simply treat each individual in it who worshipped avodah zarah as an individual idol worshipper. He gets skila, and his property goes to his yorshim. Halacha vav, v'heach din ir nidachat, v'zman shetei ruya le'asot ir nidachat, beidin agadol sholchin v'dorshin v'chokrin, ad shiidu b'raya. Here the Rambam begins to discuss how Beit Din actually deals with the ir nidachat. The first step, when they hear about it, is they send people to investigate. As the Pasuk said, they investigate to see if there's clear proof that most of the city was led astray through avodah zarah. Achar kach shochin lahem shnei tamidei chachamim lazhir otam ulachziram. Im chazru vasu tshuva mutav. V'imamdu b'ivaltam, b'din mitzavin l'chol Yisrael alot alehem l'tzava, v'im tzarim alehem v'orchin imahem melchama, al shetibaka ha'ir. After this, Beit Din sends two Talmidei Chachamim to the city to warn them, to try to bring them to do tshuva. If they do tshuva, the Rambam says, that is good. We'll see what that means. If they cling to their stupidity of worshipping Avodah Zarah, then Beit Din commands all of Bnei Yisrael to organize into an army to wage war against the city
until the walls of the city are breached. The Ravid has a problem with the Rambam's point about sending two Talmidei Chachamim.
How can sending Talmidei Chachamim now, after the people of the city have already sinned, do anything to exempt them from punishment? A person can't get out of capital punishment even if he did tshuva before being put on trial. The Avodah HaMelech explains that the sinners in the city will in any event be brought to justice, and the Rambam is referring here only to the unique dinim of Ir Nidachat. If the city does tshuva, then the sinners will be judged and punished as individuals, with skila rather than saif. Their property won't be destroyed, and there won't be punishment for the women and children, as we'll see in the continuation of this halacha. Kesha tibaka miyad marbin lahen batei dinin v'danin otam. Kol mi sheba'u alav shnei idim shavar avodah zarah achar shitrubo mafrishin oto. Im nimtzu'u kol ha'ovdim miuta soklin otam. U'shar ha'ir nitzal. Nimtzu'u ruba ma'alin otan le'beit din hagadol v'gomrin sham dinam. V'horgim kol elu shavdu b'saif.
When the city falls, lots of courts are set up, and the inhabitants are judged. All those people against whom two witnesses testify that they worshipped Avodah Zarah after receiving Hatra'ah are separated. If those who worshipped constitute only a minority of the city's inhabitants, they are given the punishment of skila, and the rest of the city is saved. If they constitute a majority, then they are brought to the Beit Din HaGadol, and their judgment is concluded there. And all those who worship the Avodah Zarah are killed by the sword.
Umakin et kol nefesh adam asher ba lefi cherev, taf v'nashim, imurcha kula. V'im nimtzu ha'ovdim ruba, makin et kol ha'taf v'nashim shel ovdim lefi cherev.
All the inhabitants are to be killed. That includes women and children, if the entire city did Avodah Zarah. If only most of the city did Avodah Zarah, then the wives and children of the worshippers are to be killed by the sword. What the Rambam says here about the women and children of the city has a source in the Midrash Sifri, but it is still very difficult to accept. How can we kill women and children who didn't sin on the basis of the sins of their husbands or fathers? The Avodah HaMelech, quoting Rav Chaim Salvechik, suggests that the Rambam means something a little different. The reference is to women and children who did worship Avodah Zarah, but are judged with harsher standards than usual. In the case of women, this means even though they receive no warning, hatra'ah, and in the case of the children, they do not get the usual exemption from punishment granted to any minor. This only partially solves the problem, as even these relaxed standards seem very unfair. We don't apply them elsewhere. The explanation seems to be rooted in a deeper understanding of ir hanidachat. The Rambam said earlier that we wage war against the ir hanidachat, or orchim imahem milchama. This isn't a normal scenario of being tried in court and then punished for one's offenses. The Irani Dachat is not a personal sin. It's a national crisis, which, if allowed to spread, can cause untold damage. When an entire city is led to worship Avodah Zarah, this threatens the spiritual well-being of Klal Yisrael as a whole. And the response is fundamentally not a judicial one, it's a military one. Within the battle against the Irani Dachat, we set up courts to determine the exact extent of the catastrophe. But the justice which is ultimately meted out is fitting more for the battlefield than for the legal arena. This may explain the punishment of Saif rather than Skila, as killing in war is generally done by the sword. Returning to our original question, it's possible that the killing of the wives and children of those who participated in the sins of the Irani Dachat, women and children who are integrated into the social fabric of the city and have been immersed in the destructive ideology of their husbands and fathers, needs to be understood as a tragic necessity in order to eradicate an existential threat to the entire nation.
In this respect, the Irani Dachat resembles another halachic institution, which also, according to the Tosefta, never happened and never will happen, namely the Ben Sorer Umoreh, the rebellious youngster who is killed, and the Gemara explains he is Nidon Al Shem Sofo. His death is not so much a punishment for what he did until now, but rather to prevent a much worse calamity if he is allowed to continue on this path which he absolutely refuses to abandon.
Uvein Shuhudcha Kula, Uvein Shuhudcha Ruba, So Klin Et Madicha, Umekabtzin Et Kol Shlala El Toch Rechova. Ein la rechov, osin la rechov. Haya rechova chutzala, bonin choma chutz menu, ad shikanes letocha, shnamar el toch rechova. Whether most or all of the city has been led astray, the madichim, the ones who led it astray, they get the punishment of skila, as we said in Halacha Aleph. All the property of the city is gathered into its main square. If it doesn't have a main square, then we make one so that we can fulfill what the pasuk says. If the main square is just outside the city, then we extend the wall of the city to include it so it can be inside the city. V'horgin kol nefesh chaya asher ba, v'sorfin et kol shlala im hamedina ba'esh, u'srefat.
We kill all the animals in the city, we burn all the property of the city, and burning the city is a mitzvat asei, as we read in the Pesukim.
Halacha Zayin. Nichsei ha-tzadikim shebetocha, v'hem sh'ar yoshvei ha'ir, sh'lo hudchu imruba, nisrafim bichlal shlala. Ho'il v'yashivu sham, mamonam aved, v'chol ha-nehene mimena b'chol shehu, lokeachat, sh'namar v'lo yidivak b'yadcha mu'uma min acherim.
Even the property of those who did not worship Avodah Zarah, but live in the city, is burnt with the rest of the city's property. Because they stayed there and didn't leave, they end up losing their property. There's an isser to benefit at all from the property, as we saw in the Pesukim, v'lo yidivak b'yadcha. And anyone who derives any benefit from this property gets the punishment of Malkot.
The Rambam emphasizes here, Loke Achat, he gets one set of Malkot, because as we'll see later in Perek Zayin, someone who gets benefit from an idol itself gets two sets of Malkot.
Halacha Chet. V'ir anidachat shehuzmu eideha, kol ha-machzik bin chaseha zacha, umutar lehanot bo, sharei huzmu.
If it happens that the witnesses testifying against the city are found to be false witnesses, in which case the din of Irani Dachat is canceled and doesn't apply, but nonetheless, anyone who takes any of the property can keep it, because the people of the city, as soon as the city was first judged to be an Irani Dachat, gave up their property because they knew it was going to be destroyed. So even if afterwards that din of Irani Dachat is canceled, whoever took that property gets to keep it as if he took from Hefker.
Ve'ina nivneit la'olam, v'chol ha'boneh ota loke, sh'nemar lo tibaneh od, u'mutar la'asota ganot u'fardesim, sh'nemar lo tibaneh od, lo tibaneh medina kemot shahita.
The fourth and last of the mitzvot in this perek is that it is forbidden to rebuild the Irani Dachat. Anyone who does so gets malkot, because we saw in the pasuk it said lo tibaneh od. However, it is permitted to make the ruins of an Irani Dachat into a garden or an orchard, just not to make it back into a city like it was. To summarize the four mitzvot we have in this perek, there's the prohibition against leading a city astray to be a mediach, that's punishable by skila. There's the mitzvat asei to burn the Irani Dachat, and two more mitzvot lo ta'asei against benefiting from the condemned property of the Irani Dachat and rebuilding the Irani Dachat, both of which anyone who violates gets the punishment of Malkot.
Halacha Tet.
שיירה העוברת ממקום למקום, אם עברה בעיר הנידחת והותחה אימה, אם שהת שם 30 יום, נרגין בסייף, וממונם עבד. ואם לאו, הם בסקילה, וממונם ליורשיהם. A caravan,
or convoy of travelers,
who are journeying from one place to another, and passes through an עיר נידחת, if they are led astray to do עבודה זרה with the residents of the city, if they had been in the city for 30 days, then they are killed by Saif, and their property is destroyed. If they were there for less than 30 days, they are punished as individuals. Each one gets skila, and their property is saved and goes to their yorshim. The Kesef Mishnah clarifies that this principle, that the members of a convoy which has been in the city for 30 days are considered city residents, applies also for purposes of calculating whether most of the city has worshipped Avodah Zarah or not, and can be both a kula and a chumrah. If they didn't sin, and including them, most of the city residents didn't sin, then the city is spared from becoming an Irani Dachat. Conversely, if they did sin, and including them, most of the residents sinned, then the city is condemned as an Irani Dachat. All this, of course, only if they were there for at least 30 days. If not, then they don't count as residents of the city. Halacha Yud. Nichsei anshei medina acheret shayu mufkadim betocha, af al pi shegiblu aleihem achrayut, ein nisrafin, ela yachzeru levaleihen, shnemar shlala, ולא שלל חברתה. נכסי הרשעים שהודחו שהיה מופקדים במדינה אחרת, אם נקפצו עמה, נשרפין בכללה. ואם לאו, אין מאבדין אותן, אלא ינתנו ליורשיהן. Property belonging to people of other cities, which was within an עיר נידחת, is not burnt, but rather returned to its owners. This is true even when the residents of the עיר נידחת accepted responsibility for it, something which, in other contexts in halacha, is enough to consider one an owner. In this case, that's not true, because the pasuk says, shlala, only the property of the עיר נידחת, not the property of other cities that are inside it. Conversely, property of the residents of the עיר נידחת, which was being stored in some other city, will only be burnt if it is brought into the Irni Dachat first. But otherwise, we do not go after it to burn it.
Such property is spared and goes to the Yorshim of its owner. In summary, property of the Irni Dachat is only destroyed if it satisfies two conditions. It is owned by people within the city, and it is located inside the city at the time of the burning. If either condition is not met, then the property is spared.
Halacha Yud Aleph.
Behema chetzia shel ir hanidachat vechetzia shel ir acheret shaita betocha, harezo asura.
V'isa shihikein muteret lefi she'efshar lach lo kaisa. An animal which is half owned by someone in Irani Dachat and half owned by someone elsewhere,
and which is located inside the Irani Dachat,
is forbidden. But a loaf of dough, which is owned half and half in the same way, is permitted because it can be split. And why can't the animal also be split after slaughtering it, just like the dough? The Rambam goes on to explain. Halacha Yud Bet. Behema shel ir hanidachat shenishchata asura bahana'a kishor haniskal shenishchat. An animal belonging to the ir hanidachat, which is slaughtered, is forbidden. Just like the case of a shor haniskal, that is an animal which kills a person, and which Beit Din condemns to death, if someone were to shecht it before it is stoned, it would still be forbidden. The very fact that it's condemned to death makes it forbidden, and shechita doesn't help. So the same is true of an animal of an ir nidachat. And therefore, going back to the previous halacha, the animal which belongs half to an ir nidachat resident and half to an outsider can't be shechted and split between them, because the shechita is ineffective on the half owned by the resident of the ir nidachat, and therefore doesn't accomplish anything. The animal is still forbidden to eat by anyone. Sa'ar harosh, bein shel anashim, bein shel nashim sheba, mutar bahana'a, aval shel pe'an ochrit, harehu miklal shlala ve'asur. Hair of the head of anyone in ir nidachat is permitted in hana'a. We'll see why in the next halacha. But a wig belonging to someone in Irani Dachat is considered property of the city and needs to be destroyed. Halacha Yud Gimel. Perot tikalim shbetocha mutarin. Shnemar tikbots v'sarafta. Mi she'eino mechusar ela kibbutz. Yatzu perot ha-mukhubarin she'en mechusarin tlisha v'kibbutz u'srefa. V'hu adin l'sa'ar harosh. V'ein tzarich lomar hilanot atzman she'en mutarot v'arei hen shel yorshin. Fruit growing on a tree in the Irni Dachat is also permitted, because when the pasuk talks about destroying the property, it says gather all the property and destroy it, meaning the only property which is destroyed is that which can be immediately gathered. desired, not for which some other action needs to be done, like picking it off a tree. And therefore, the same is true of hair of the head, explaining the last halacha, that also cannot be gathered without first cutting off the head, and so it is not forbidden. And certainly the trees themselves are permitted, and all these things can go to the yorshim of the people in the Ir Nidachat. Ha'hek deshot shebetocha, kodshei mizbeach yamutu, zevech reshaim toiva. Kodshei bet kabayit yipadu, v'achar kach sorfinotan, shnemar shlala, v'lo shlal shamayim. To understand this halacha, we have to explain the two kinds of hekdesh, property consecrated to the Beit HaMikdash. Kodshei mizbeach refers to animals consecrated as korbanot, to be offered on the mizbeach. Kodshei bet kabayit refers to general property consecrated as a gift to the Beit HaMikdash, which is not meant to be a korban. All hekdesh in an Ir Nidachat cannot be burnt, at least not immediately, because it doesn't fall in the category of shlala. Rather, it is shlal shamayim, property of God. But what we do with this hekdesh depends on the type. Kodshei bet kabayit can be redeemed, that is, bought back from hekdesh for money. So these are redeemed, at which point they become shlala of the Ir Nidachat and are burnt. The Ravid finds this difficult. If they weren't property of the Ir Nidachat at the time it became an Ir Nidachat, but rather Shlal Shamayim, why must they be burnt even after being redeemed? The Avodah HaMelech explains that even Shlal Shamayim is fundamentally part of the property of the Ir Nidachat. We just can't burn it because it is Hekdesh. So after it is redeemed and no longer Hekdesh, it can and must be burnt. Regarding Kodshei Mizbeach, we have a problem, as an animal consecrated as a korban can't be redeemed unless it develops a mum, a disqualifying blemish. So these we don't kill like other animals of the Ir Nidachat, but on the other hand, they can't be offered as korbanot because of the principle of Zevach Rishaim Toiva, a pasuk in Mishlei, that the offering of a rasha is an abomination. So their din is Yamutu, we let them die in a manner similar to certain other korbanot, which can't be offered for various reasons, as we'll see later in the Mishnah Torah.
Halacha Yudalad. Habechor v'hamaser shebetocha, t'mimin harehen kodshei mizbeach, v'yamutu, uv'alei mumin harehen bichlal behemta v'neragin. The bechor is the firstborn of a kosher animal. It has to be offered as a korban and is then eaten by the kohen. Maser here refers to maser behema, every tenth animal, when a person's animals are counted in a certain way, which also is offered as a korban and then is eaten by its owner. These two types of korbanot, if they develop a mum, are immediately allowed to be eaten, the bechor by a kohen and the maser by its owner, without being offered as a korban at all. Therefore, their din in an Ir Nidachat depends on whether they have a mum. If they don't, then they have the same din as kodshei mizbeach, that is, they are left to die. And if they have a mum, then they are like any other animals of the Ir Nidachat and are killed. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam and rules in accordance with Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin that Bechor and Maaser have a unique status. Unlike other kinds of korbanot, these are not really an offering by the owner for purposes of atonement or a gift to God. Their kedusha is inherent by virtue of what they are, the firstborn or the tenth animal to be counted. Therefore, they don't really belong to the Ir Nidachat at all, and the principle of Zevach Rishaim Toiva doesn't apply to them. If it is free of a mum, it can be offered on the Mizbeach, and if it has a mum, it is given to a kohen from another city. Hatrumot shebetocha, im igiu liyad kohen, yerakvu, mipnei shehen nechasav, v'madayin hein biyad Yisrael, yinatnu lechohen shel medina acheret, mipnei shehen nechse shamayim uktushatan kedushat haguf. Truma, the first 1/50th of a person's produce that has to be given to a kohen, if it belongs to a kohen who lives in the Ir Nidachat, meaning someone gave it to this kohen as truma, then it has to be left to rot. It cannot be eaten because it's property of Ir Nidachat, and it can't be destroyed because it's truma and has inherent kedusha, just like kodshei mizbeach. If the truma belongs to a Yisrael who hasn't yet given it to a kohen, then he gives it to a kohen from some other city. Halacha tedvav. Maser sheni v'chesef maser sheni v'chitvei kodesh betocha hareelu yiganzu. If someone in the city has maser sheni, which he had redeemed onto money, intending to bring the money to Jerusalem and then spend the money on food there, then that similarly has kedusha, we can't destroy it, and it has to go into Geniza. And similarly, Kitvei HaKodesh, any Sefer Torah or some other kind of written work which has kedusha, like a Megillah or a Sefer of Navi, has to go into Geniza. The Rambam ends the Perek with words of comfort. Even though the destruction of the Ir Nidachat seems like a very cruel act, it is a necessary one. One who carries it out is compared to someone who has offered a korban,
and he is credited with having removed God's anger and replaced it with God's mercy and blessing. Halachat Zayin. Kol ha'oseh din bi'ir anidachat, harezek makriv ola kalil, shnamar kalil Hashem Elokecha, v'lo od elosh mesalek charon af Yisrael, shnamar l'man yashuv Hashem echron apo, u'mevi alem bracha v'rachamim, shnamar v'natan lecha rachamim, v'richamcha b'hirbecha. The Rambam here quotes the last two psukim that we read earlier about the Ir Nidachat, where the Ir Nidachat is described as being burnt kalil l'Hashem Elokecha. That phrase, being burnt completely to God, is somewhat strange in reference to a city which needs to be destroyed. It's more appropriate for a korban. Chazal understood from this pasuk that indeed, someone who carries out justice against the Ir Nidachat, as cruel an act as it seems, is really performing an act of service to God by removing this terrible threat to the spiritual health of Klal Yisrael. And not only that, but he takes away God's anger and brings God's blessing, as the pasuk goes on to say, L'man ha-yashuv Hashem echor napo, and v'natan lecha rachamim v'richamcha v'hirbecha.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.